If you have a Bible with you, Psalm 90, and I mentioned to you this morning, and you see it in the bulletin there, that the sermon title this evening is Five Tips for a Successful Year. And it's the last Sunday evening of 2025, and during this week that is ahead of us, as we flip a calendar from December to January, from 2025 to 2026, there are many things that we reflect upon, and then we look forward to, and that's a very important, precious time of the year. It also reminds us of how quickly time goes by. Amen? And it's hard for me to believe that we this week will flip the calendar to 2026, and it just seems like it was just a short time ago that we were flipping the calendar to 2025, and here we are, and time just continues to march forward. And as we look at this title for this evening, Five Tips for a Successful Year, at times I believe that we might shy away from using the word success or successful because of the connotation that the word carries with regard to secularism and the secular worldview perspective of success. However, I do want to remind you that when God instructs Joshua in Joshua 1, in verse number 8, he tells him that the result of obeying the counsel would be this: then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I do not believe that it would be bad hermeneutics to say that God desired for Joshua to have prosperity and success. God instructed him. God gave him a book. At that time, it's just the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. And God's given to us a book, the Bible, and it now contains 66 books. And what a blessing to have the whole canon of Scripture. And as God has given to us His Word, I believe that God wants us to have lives that are prosperous or successful. And God says this in Psalm 1 in verse number 3, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Speaking of the blessed man, the man that's delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates therein day and night. We find that as John is writing in the book of 3 John to Gaius, he speaks to him and says this, "Even as thy soul prospereth." And so we begin to think about the truth that even with regard to Gaius there in the little epistle of 3 John, though our outward man may perish, the inward man is to be renewed day by day, and we are to faint not. The word success means a termination which answers the purpose intended. Now think about that just for a moment, because the world would define success different than how I'm seeking to define success this evening. There are some that would define success by bank accounts, by positions, by possessions, and those types of things. But we find that the definition from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary is a termination, the end result, if you will, which answers the purpose intended. Can I tell you this evening that God has a purpose for you and He has a purpose for me? God's purpose, generally speaking, for all of us is that we would live our lives in such a way that He would be glorified. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we find this evening that as we begin to think about this termination which answers the purpose intended, I want to read for you two verses from the New Testament. I know I have you here in Psalm 90. I'm going to read it in just a moment. But I want to remind you of what the Apostle Paul says. I referenced it this morning in Acts 20 and verse 24, but I did not read the entirety of the verse. But Paul says this in Acts 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He then says this over in the book of Philippians in chapter number 3, as he's writing to this church that he had the privilege of being able to see the Lord plant that church and grow that church. And as he's writing back to them in Philippians 3 in verse number 12, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I believe the Apostle Paul had a desire to live his life in such a way that God would be glorified. In fact, as you study his life, I believe that you'll see a man who lived exactly that way. As we think about our time on earth, we think about this year that is before us, and I think about this passage in Psalm 90. I'll begin reading for you in verse number 9, and notice what the Bible says. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. There are some here this evening that have already passed 70, some that have already passed 80. And the reality is that we understand that, as it says at the end of verse number 10, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. If you live, somebody told me, I want to live to be 100. The Lord bless you. I want to go be with Jesus. Amen. And the reality is this, no matter how many days you live here upon this earth, it's really only that long in light of eternity. The Bible talks about the wise man. He says that man goeth to his long home. What a great description of eternity. We find that James says it this way, what is your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Bible continues in verse number 11 of Psalm 90, says, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And then in verse 12, the psalmist, it's a psalm of Moses, the Bible says this, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I don't know how many days I have left. I don't know how many days you have left. The reality is that none of us have any certainty of tomorrow. And no man, the wise man again in Proverbs said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why? No man knoweth what a day may bring forth. And we find as we look at this thought this evening with five tips for a successful year, I'm just going to give them to you, read some verses, and try to help us this evening to have, as we look at this calendar year behind us and we look at a new calendar year ahead of us, not being presumptuous, not in a position where we say we know that we're going to have all of 2026. In fact, the reality is this. We may not see 2026. We could hear the trumpet of the Lord, amen? And it'd be a blessing. I'd be okay with that, amen? And the reality is that we don't know, but I want to give you some thoughts this evening. Number one, if you're taking notes, I would say this, put God first. How are you going to have a successful year? Well, you better put God first. And when I talk about putting God first, I'm talking about our time, our treasure. I'm really talking about everything that we put God first. I begin to think about the reality of life and how many things pull us in all sorts of directions and all of the demands on our time, on our schedule, so on and so forth. But we must make a determination if we truly want to have success as God would define it and do what God has called us to do to have that termination which answers the purpose intended. You must put God first. I cannot be the husband that God has called me to be if I do not put God first in my life. I cannot be the father that God has called me to be if I do not put God first in my life. I cannot be the pastor that God wants me to be if I'm not putting God first in my life. And sometimes we can get things out of order. Why? Because the demands of life are so pressing and we think we need to do this and we need to do that and I'm needed over here. But the reality is that we got to take time to spend with our God. We need to recognize the importance of putting God first. Let me remind you in Exodus chapter number 20, and I'm going to reference a number of verses. If you don't get to turn to all of them, I'll read them. But Exodus chapter 20, let me just remind you as we begin looking at Exodus 20, reminding ourselves of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says this in verse number 1, and God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. We find as we read through the scriptures that God says that He is a jealous God. He will not share His glory with any other. And we find this evening that an idol is anything that we'd put before God. And here God makes it very plain, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm reminded as the children of Israel, after many years from what we read in Exodus chapter 20, are ready to, they've entered into the land in Joshua chapter 24. The account is given to us after the land has been conquered and divided, and the people of God have taken possession of the land that God had promised them, that Joshua speaks to the people in Joshua 24. And as Joshua speaks to the people, he tells them in the very familiar verse, in verse 15, as we often have it, maybe a part of that verse somewhere in our home, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as Joshua's having this interaction, I really want to draw your attention, because he's bringing the people to a place of decision. Before he makes that statement, he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And we find that as you look through the text, that in verse 19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. The people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. But I want to draw your attention to verse 23. Notice what Joshua says to them. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. They say, Joshua, we're going to serve God. Joshua, we are witnesses. And Joshua says, okay, then put away the strange gods which are among you. Why does he tell them that? Well, because idolatry is wickedness and God can't bless it, but they cannot serve God while they have idols. And he tells them to put away those strange gods which were among them. And so we begin to think about this idea of putting God first in our lives. We understand that Colossians 1 and verse 18 teaches us that in all things that Christ must have the preeminence. And in your life and in my life, if I want to have a successful year, if you want to have a successful year, if we want to have the purpose that God has for our lives, if we want that to be achieved, we must put God first. Seek ye first, Matthew 6 and verse 33, right? And the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And sometimes what happens in life is we have so many pressures and so many things going on that it's kind of like that if we can fit it in. That's how I treat exercise. I'm just being honest with you. That's not always going to work in my benefit, by the way. There's got to come a time that you're going to have to make a priority, and it's getting real close for me because I'm 45 now, and it's important because I've put it off for so long. But my mentality has always been, I'll get to it if I can fit it in. You know what happens? You never fit it in. Joseph said to me the other day, hey, when's the last time you're at the gym? When's the last time you worked out? He's my accountability partner. And if I grab a cookie, it's amazing how this guy has radar. I can't see him for hours. We live in the same house. I won't see him for hours. And I'll see a cookie over there and I'll go grab that thing and I'll take, and he walks around the corner. Like, where did you come from, man? Like, what is going on? But the reality is that doesn't work spiritually. If you take that same approach, that you'll fit it in when you have time, you're going to find that your schedule is going to get filled up and you're never going to spend time with God. You're not going to put God first. And all of a sudden, all these things are going to be falling apart at the seams. You say, what's going on? Put God first. Your devotional life is imperative. It's absolutely imperative that you spend time with God on a daily basis. We provide the daily devotional books. We provide the Bible reading schedules. Why? Because we want to, as I mentioned this morning, get tools into your hands. Why? Because you need more than just what you would get on a Sunday or a Wednesday. You need to be feasting on the Word of God every day in your life. You need to put God first. I've learned it in my life, and I know that many of you could stand and testify as well, that the reality is that if we don't make a plan, if we don't have the purpose time to put God first, all sorts of things are going to fill your time. And all of a sudden, you're going to get into your day, and you're going to get into your day, and you're going to find out, you know what? I never even read my Bible today. I didn't even pray today. I didn't put God first today. I did this and did this, and I took care of all these things. And you might hear from some people, oh, good job, you took care of all these things, and you, employee of the month, or whatever it might be. But the reality is that we're looking for success in God's eyes, and we must put God first. Number two, redeem the time. We read already in Psalm 90, and what a great passage of Scripture. So teach us to number our days. As we read in verse number 12, I referenced already the truth of James when the Bible says that our life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And I'm reminded of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16 when he simply says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When I think about redeem the time, and I consider the commodity, if you will, if I could use that terminology this evening of time, time is precious, but time is fleeting. Time waits for no one. Have you found that to be so? We look at pictures, and I don't know how many of you have a smartphone that gives you reminders of pictures from this day, however many years in the past, and you look at pictures and you say, man, that many years have passed. I got a little picture on my phone just the other day of Natalie, and she was probably, I don't know, two and a half years old, and it was a scripture assembly, something we were doing, and I'm just like, man. Time just flies. I look at my own children, I look at my own life, and I see, and the reality is that we must have a plan. I think about having a plan daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually, just understanding I want to redeem the time. Why? Because wasted time is gone forever. You know, the reality this evening is you can waste money and be okay. How many of you have ever wasted money before? I mean, you bought something and you thought this thing, you went to the dollar store and you found out it was a waste of money. If they listen to the sermon, they're going to be upset with me. But the reality is this, right? You've wasted money at some point. But you can recover from a financial mistake. You can. But when time is wasted, it's gone. You can't get it back. It is gone. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, and maybe you've even said it as well, I'm going to make time for that. How many of you've ever said that or you've heard somebody say it? I hear it all the time. And my family knows I don't like that statement. Why? Because you cannot make time. It's impossible. You can steward time. That's all you can do is steward time. You cannot make it. Every single one of us has 24 hours in a day. 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds. That's what we have every single day. It's what you have, it's what I have, it's what everyone in this world has. And the reality is this, I can't make time. I can steward time. I understand what people mean when they use the phraseology, I want to make time for that, meaning they're going to carve out on their schedule, I understand it. But really what you're doing is stewarding time. And we talk about this idea of redeeming the time. If we want to have a successful year, we better redeem the time. We better have a plan. We better understand that the days are fleeting. And you'll look back and it's going to be amazing. We're standing here, I'm standing here this evening and I'm speaking on December 28th, 2025, but it seems like just a few snaps of the finger and it will be December 27th, 2026. And we'll be talking about flipping a calendar to 2027. It's just how quick life goes by. And all of a sudden, we're going to come to May and June and July and we're going to say, where has the time gone? Redeem the time. Number three, invest in others. You want to have a successful year? Invest in others. Can I say it this way? Be intentional. Be purposed on investing in someone else. The psalmist said it this way. Notice in Psalm 71 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, and it's a psalm that oftentimes I've looked to and I've just been encouraged by many things here in this psalm. But in verse number 18, the psalmist says something that is profound. He says this in verse number 18, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." And then notice what he says. "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." What a great desire that the psalmist has here as he expresses this desire that when he's old and gray-headed, yes, for God not to forsake him, but specifically for the purpose, the task of being able to invest in others, to instruct others, to show to a generation that would come the strength of God and the power of God. And what a blessed thought. And this evening, as we think about having a successful year, we could look at our lives and say, who am I investing in? We could look back at 2025 and we could say, is there anyone that I invested in spiritually in 2025 that God allowed me an opportunity to be able to see them grow spiritually, to see them develop in their walk with God? We need to invest in others. I think about the great truth of 2 Timothy chapter number 2 as the Apostle Paul is giving really a great formula, if we could use that terminology this evening, for the propagation of truth and really a model for discipleship. And as we look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, as Paul is writing here to Timothy, he says in verse number 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then notice what he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." There have been some folks that have invested in me spiritually, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful for those mentors that have invested in me personally, and they discipled me, and they taught me, and they gave me opportunity, and I'm thankful for that. And I have sought to diligently invest in others. I have sought to sit across the table and disciple folks and teach them and train them and invest in them. Can I tell you, it takes time. It takes a lot of time. But you have to be intentional. Who are you investing in? There's some folks this past year that went through a discipleship program, some that are currently being discipled. Some of the ladies in our church have been discipled by Holly, and some of them are still being discipled actively, and I've discipled some folks. And really, as we near the end of those discipleship time frames, I often say to the individuals, now you need to find somebody to disciple. Why? Because you now have an opportunity to invest in someone else and to follow the pattern that's been set forth in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2. As parents, you ought to be investing in your children, absolutely. But if I could think about the men of our church investing in other men in our church, if I could think about the women, the ladies of our church investing in other ladies in our church, and the opportunity that we have to be intentional, to be purposed, to invest in someone else. I think about the account in Acts chapter number 8. And as I think about that portion of Scripture and all that's going on, and Philip is there, and I mean, great things are happening in Samaria. There's really revival going on. And God calls him and moves him to go speak to this Ethiopian eunuch. And God is organizing and orchestrating this whole thing in Acts chapter number 8. And it's absolutely amazing. But there's a thought that I want to share with you as I consider this idea of investing in others. And here's what it is. In verse number 30 of Acts chapter 8, Philip says this. It says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said," so here's the question that Philip asked this eunuch, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And I want you to notice the response. "How can I, except some man should guide me?" You know, I believe there's a lot of people that would be willing to be taught, that would be willing to they want to grow spiritually. They don't know how to grow. They're desiring to grow, and they just need someone that would invest in them, that would be intentional, that they would be purposed in investing in others. It's so important that we understand this priority in our lives, and that God would use us to be able to have that impact for God's glory. You know, when you think about a church, and you see in the book of Acts, there's really multiplication that's going on, not addition. And addition is a good thing, but multiplication is really God's plan. And the only way that multiplication can really be attained is through the people going forth and reaching other people. And we multiply our efforts. Does that make sense? And so we are intentional on how we're going to invest in someone else. Number four, if you're taking notes, develop spiritual goals. Develop spiritual goals. I've spent a couple of times in previous years preaching about some spiritual goals and giving you some ideas of spiritual goals and encouraging you to have spiritual goals and goals that are SMART goals, goals that are specific goals, and they're measurable goals, they're attainable goals, and reportable goals. And we've looked at all of those things, and we've had the opportunities to review those things in years gone by. And often I've said this: listen, if you've never read the Bible through ever in your entire Christian life, it's probably not a great goal to say, "I'm going to read the Bible 12 times this year." Like, it's just not a very attainable goal. You might say, "I'm going to read the Bible every day this year. I'm going to read one chapter a day." You're not going to get through it in a year if you only read one chapter a day, but can I tell you, it's a whole lot better than not reading it every day. You read about three chapters a day in the Bible, and you'll read through the entirety of the Bible in a year. It's not exactly three per day, but it's roughly three per day. And you find here that as you think about this idea of developing spiritual goals, when you begin to think about where are we spiritually? Where are you spiritually? Look at Hebrews chapter 5, if you will. In Hebrews chapter number 5, when we think about this idea of developing spiritual goals, sometimes what can happen is we can flounder around in our spiritual lives. We don't really have any goals. We just kind of just going through the mundane, just every day, just whatever. And we got to have some spiritual goals. We want to develop spiritually. I have been teaching the young people in Sunday school about developing a personal walk with God. And how do we do that? If you were to look at your life and truly examine your life and look back at the last year, are you closer to God today than you were a year ago? It's a good question. It's a question that requires some honesty and humility that we reflect and we go through the process of examination. How close am I to God? How much time do I spend with God? Do I have spiritual goals? Do I have goals of being able to disciple people, to have goals to be able to share the gospel with people? I know that we can't save anyone. God does that. But surely, if we're not sharing the gospel with people, we're not going to see anyone get saved. Is that a fair assessment? Amen? Jesus did say, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." We find in Hebrews chapter 5 in verse number 11, Think about this idea of having spiritual goals. It's a means to measure your spiritual growth. The Bible tells us, I'm going to look here in Hebrews chapter 5, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Someone shared this with me in the last year. They said, well, spiritually I'm like a toddler. And I said, that's okay, as long as you don't stay there. Amen? It's a good thing for us to know where we are spiritually, but not get content with staying there. To say, I want to grow. I want to press forward. I want to be more like Christ. I want to learn. It's a blessing to me when people are, they don't know the books of the Bible in order and they're trying to learn them. I remember being there. I remember when the pastor would mention a passage of scripture and I got to look in the front of the book, or I had the little tabby indexes. And if you are still there using the tabs, it's okay. But we got to grow. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, noticing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and there become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Spiritual goals, again, are a means to measure your spiritual growth. When we think about growing spiritually, the thing that's interesting and amazing to me about spiritual growth is that it's different than physical growth. Physical growth is really is based on time. I mean, there's only so many, you can't rush physical growth in a lot of ways, right? You can't, man, I really want my three-month-old to eat steak, and I'm really, it's just, they're not ready, right? You just gotta wait. You can't make them have teeth faster than they're gonna have teeth. You can't make them, their digestive tract be able to process that food. And so we understand physically, a lot of times there's a time element to it. Spiritually, there's certainly some aspect of time, but the reality is that there are people that are babes in Christ, meaning the amount of time that they've been saved, that are spiritually mature. Why? Because they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I mean, they're growing, they're feasting on the Word of God, they're consuming as much as they can get, and they're just growing, and they have spiritual goals. And here we find that in Hebrews chapter 5, the writer is saying here to these that he's writing to that the time was that they ought to be teachers, but they had need that one teach them. In other words, they had not grown like they should. They had not been growing spiritually in the manner in which they ought to. And this evening, how do we measure our spiritual growth? How do we really determine where we are spiritually? Do we have some spiritual goals? And I would encourage you, the message tonight is not on specifically developing spiritual goals and going through a whole list of what they might be. I've preached that before. But really just understanding that if I want to have a year that would be called or referred to as being successful, that I've pleased God and brought glory to God, I better have some spiritual goals. Number five, put on your armor. Put on your armor. Can I tell you that you have an enemy? We have an enemy. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, as we're familiar with this portion of Scripture, and we'll look over to Ephesians chapter 6, but he says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Begin to think about the thought of having a successful year and the importance of putting on our armor. Watched a little football in these last couple of days, and one thing that I noticed with those players is they had their equipment on. They stepped onto the field and they had their pads on. They had their helmet on. And in fact, if they try to go on the field without a helmet, they don't let them play. Why? Because they could get injured. Often they get injured even with their equipment on, but I think about this spiritually. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, and I have this in my notes. Don't become a casualty. You want to have a successful year, put on your armor every day. Put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says this in Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Do you notice that it says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Do you think God wants you to put the whole armor of God on? He says it in verse number 11. He says it again in verse number 13. He says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." He continues and talks about the importance of prayer in the next several verses, but I want to encourage you this evening, put on the whole armor of God. Tozer said this, "The Christian life can best be described as a battleground, not a playground." It's really true. We're engaged in spiritual warfare, spiritual battle. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Don't become a casualty. Soldiers, military members, police officers, those in those types of fields, they understand the importance of their protective gear, their equipment, their armor, if you will. But so often I find that Christians don't put on the whole armor of God. And we're engaged in spiritual warfare, and all of a sudden what happens is you see people that are becoming casualties. Why? Because we have an adversary. And he's seeking whom he may trip up. No, he's seeking whom he may devour. It's real. The spiritual battle is so real. And so this evening, just five simple tips. How can we have a successful year? How is it that we can get to the end of 2026? And I understand the idea of living life, and we want to live life as Paul gets to the end of his life and have that great declaration, "I've come to the end, I've finished, I've done what God's called me to do," and what a joy. I want to come to that place of having no regrets. Put God first. Put God first in every area of your life. Just put God first. All these, sometimes we got to be able to say, "No, I can't do that." Why? Because I have to take care of this thing. What's this thing? I got to spend time with God. I got to put God first in my life. Sometimes we have to say no to somebody that wants to take us away from church, from being gathered together with the saints of God. The Bible still says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We see the day approaching. Oh, we see the day approaching, and so much the more. Sometimes we got to say, "No, I can't do that. I'm sorry." Why? Because I'm going to put God first in my life. You want God's blessing? We put Him first in our lives. We redeem the time. You have to steward the time. "I didn't have time for that. It's just so busy. It's so many things." Sometimes we got to say no. Redeem the time. How am I going to steward the time that God gave me? I don't want to ask how many of you have a budget for your finances, because I've been discouraged by asking about checkbooks and budgets in the past and all that sort of thing. But most people have a budget for their finances. But we don't even really think about how we budget or steward our time and how important it is. Invest in others. Would you ask God to give you somebody this year to invest in, to be able to disciple, to be able to invest in them spiritually? See, the Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is required." There's some folks that have been taught a lot. There's some folks that have been on the receiving end of somebody spiritually investing in you. God, would you give me somebody? Would you help me to be intentional? Would you help me to be purposed? I want to invest in someone else spiritually. Could I encourage you to develop some spiritual goals? It's not going to happen by chance. You've got to have some goals. Many times people, this time when I was in the corporate world, we had to have, you know, these professional goals. We had to write all these things out and send all these things up to our superiors of what our professional goals were for the next year and how we were going to develop ourselves in this area or that area and what we're going to do. And some of you might have gone through similar types of things. Some of you may be doing that kind of thing even now. How am I going to develop professionally? Well, I'm asking you tonight, how are you going to develop spiritually? Are we going to develop some spiritual goals? Get some time in God's Word. Maybe find a book that would help you, that would enable you to grow, be a good resource for you. And then put on your armor. Don't become a casualty. We're living in the last days. I truly believe that. I've said to a few people recently, they've come and said some things to me about, did you see this and did you see that? It's so bad. Yeah, it's true. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I understand. I'm not trying to take an easy way out. I'm just simply saying we live in a hostile environment. We live in a hostile environment. If you lived in certain parts of the United States of America, you would do certain things to protect yourself. Right? If you lived in Chicago, listen, if I went to Chicago tonight, I would not walk down the road just like this. I just wouldn't. I've read enough stuff in the news to know that it's not a good idea. Spiritually, we have an enemy, and he wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. And so we've got to put on the whole armor of God. And what a blessing that God gives us that instruction and that admonition this evening. 2026, you're not going to get to the end of it and it be successful unless you purpose. You put some things in action. How can I bring honor and glory to God in this next calendar year? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for many portions of Scripture that we look to this evening, thinking about these thoughts and tips, and no doubt it's not an exhaustive list. There's other things that we could add to it. Lord, ultimately our desire, my desire, is that we would glorify Thee. To summarize it, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease, you must increase. Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way that you would be honored and glorified. Work in hearts and lives. Maybe there's some things that some folks need to incorporate in their lives, some decisions that they need to make this evening as they evaluate the previous year and look forward to a new year, not being presumptuous, but simply planning, trying to be good stewards. Lord, would you help us to be responsive? Help us to be obedient. We'll thank you for every decision, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads around.